The views and opinions expressed on the show do not reflect those of News Radio FM 92.3 AM 1620, but rather our sponsor, Affiliated Insurance of Pensacola.
Good morning. Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Ruthie C. Happy Monday to you. I am so excited to be joined this morning in the studio by Chad PQ, Affiliated Insurance. And good morning, Chad.
Good morning.
I'm so happy to have you here with me this morning.
It's good to be back.
It sounds like a good time for you to be reaching the community with this, you know, little thing we have happening right now that I think is called open enrollment.
Open enrollment for everything going on right now.
It sure seems like there's a lot of, phone calls and text messages and just information flying around. So I love that you're coming in now to help kind of talk some people through, give a little more background information, clarify some, like we were saying before during the break, about just saying the right words, what are the right terms. And so so grateful for you to come and kind of clear up some of the stuff with us and talk us through what is available out there, what's looking different this year, and what do people need to know?
Yes, my pleasure. That's a lot of what we do is educating our clientele about what's out there, what the different options are. And so this morning I wanted to talk a little bit about the subsidies that you get with the Affordable Care Act. What they are, who qualifies for them, and just clarifying some of the myths that are out there around the ACA and those subsidies. First and foremost, what those subsidies are is a advanced premium tax credit that you can qualify for based on your income that help offset the cost of your individual health insurance premiums. So it lowers your insurance cost. In addition, some people actually get some enhanced benefits depending on where you fall into that income bracket. So there's a lot of stuff out there that can help. I mean, insurance cost is not cheap. We all know that.
Yeah.
Healthcare cost is crazy. But there's resources out there, and we want anybody that can qualify for them to take advantage of that.
So the subsidies, that's an income-based qualification process. And so how would someone know if they're like a certain threshold or household income? Is it combined? Is it individual? How does that work?
So great questions. It is based on your household income. And one of the things the Affordable Care Act law did was kind of tied health insurance to your taxes, to the IRS. So that's how they look at it, is based on your household income on your taxes, not necessarily who's living with you. You got a cousin living in your house or seven cousins living in your house. They're not part of your taxable household, so they wouldn't, their income obviously wouldn't count. But, you know, spouses, dependents, you include all that, and they look at your income as a percentage of federal poverty level. So that obviously is different based on your household size. One of the misconceptions is that you can't make any income to qualify for these subsidies. You have to make very little income. Actually, you do have to have an income. If you don't have an income, you don't qualify for the subsidies.
Oh, okay. That's a great point.
And then what they look at is if you are between 100% and 400% of the federal poverty level, you're within the range where you might qualify for the subsidies. So just to give you some examples, a single person household, that's somebody making between roughly $12,760 and about $51,000. An individual making $40,000 could still qualify to get a subsidy. A household of four, that's a household income between $26,000 and about $104,000. So obviously not just people that are poverty stricken. This is really for that middle, low to middle income bracket. And when we look at that as a percentage of the people that are enrolled, which is probably a good percentage of the population at large. It's about 75% of our members qualify for a subsidy. So more people than you think can take advantage of these advanced premium tax credits to help offset that cost.
That is a lot more, 75%. That is a lot higher than I would have thought. But I think a great point that if you don't have a job, then maybe these aren't the this isn't where you need to be looking. Is that right?
Well, we can definitely talk with members because that's the other thing, is that your subsidy is going to be based on the income of the year that you are receiving the subsidy. It's not based on what you've done in the past. So what we're doing right now in open enrollment is enrolling people for 2021. We are looking at what their income is going to be for 2021, not necessarily what they made this year, though for a lot of people that's pretty consistent. For some people, it varies drastically.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look at your net worth. You have $1 million in the bank, but started a small business and your annual income is within that range, guess what? You can qualify for these subsidies. The subsidies are a program of last resort. They're not out there to take the place of other programs. So if you do qualify for other programs like Medicare or Medicaid, you're on VA, or even have access to affordable group insurance, you wouldn't qualify for the subsidies. But outside of being eligible for those, if you fall within these income ranges, you certainly most likely will qualify for that premium assistance.
I gotcha. Okay. And so an advanced premium tax credit, if someone is meeting these qualifications, does that break down to like a lower monthly payment? Does that show up when you file your taxes and it comes back in the return? How does that work?
Great question as well. It is... The official name is the Advanced Premium Tax Credit. So it is a tax credit that you qualify for, but the way most people elect to use that is the federal government pays the insurance company whatever portion that is you qualify for. Let's say it's $300 a month. Whatever plan you select would be reduced by $300 a month. The premium would be reduced by $300 a month. Now, and you obviously pay the balance. You have the option not to use that credit up front, and it is a premium tax credit, and you would get it back at the end of the year when you file your taxes. The big question that we get a lot is, I don't know exactly what I'm going to make. So what happens if I'm wrong at the end of the year with my estimate of my income? The way it works is we obviously have to project. Most people don't know to the penny what they're going to make for next year. We do our best guess estimate. The federal government decides based on their calculator how much you qualify for, and they will give that to you throughout the year. Now sometimes they do ask for some additional documentation for proof of income that we are pretty close to what we're estimating. But what happens is at the end of the year when you file your taxes, the government's going to look at what you made versus what you estimated. And then based on that, they'll look at what they gave you based on what they should have given you based on your actual income. Now, if you come in a little below what you estimated, that means that you would have qualified for a larger subsidy, larger tax credit. They will give you that difference back to you on your tax return.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But if you come in a little bit higher, you may owe, that means you should have gotten less subsidy, and you may owe at least a portion of that back.
Okay, so even if you don't know, like you said, not everyone knows down to the penny. So if there's a little bit of adjustment to make, there's ways to handle that when tax season rolls around.
Yeah, they reconcile that when you file your taxes. And it's not a dollar-for-dollar issue. So if you're off by $1,000, that doesn't mean they gave you $1,000 too much. It's a sliding scale. Obviously, the closer you are to the lower end, the more subsidy you get. The closer you are to the 400% level, the less subsidy you get. But you would still get something.
So this sounds like, based on what you were saying, 75% of members qualifying for these different subsidies, this sounds like something that's definitely worth checking out.
Absolutely. That's what we tell everybody. It's one of the first questions we ask when people give us a call. It may sound a bit intrusive asking how much money do you make.
Right. For, nice to meet you. What's your income?
But there's good intent behind that. Like I said, we want to make sure that anybody that qualifies for that can take advantage of it. And unfortunately, a lot of people just have the assumption that I have a decent job, so I'm not going to get any help. So we help you take a look at that and see if you do.
Well, you know what they say about assuming.
I do.
Don't do it. So that's a great point. So anyone who qualifies, you can take advantage of it, see what else, because they're going to check too, I'm sure, about like what else you qualify for. Like you mentioned, Chad, those different other programs, making sure you're in the most appropriate program based on your needs and your qualifications. We had a question come in about Medicare. Can we change gears a little bit?
Sure. Let's jump over to Medicare
and jump to that question. So this listener says, I'm about to turn 65. Please discuss the pluses and minuses of signing up for Medicare health insurance now, as opposed to continuing with health insurance that I have through my employer. I plan to work full time for a few more years.
So that is can be a complicated question. So let me break this down into a couple of different categories. One, if you are on individual health plan, when you become Medicare eligible, one, if you're receiving the subsidy, because you are now Medicare eligible, you would no longer be eligible for the subsidy. So kind of tying that back with what we were talking about a minute ago. So you would definitely want to look into the Medicare option. You could keep your individual health plan, but you'd be paying the full price for it. Probably not the best option for you in most cases. Now, as an employee on group health insurance, we would need more information to determine which is the best route for you. If your employer is less than has less than 20 full-time employees, then when you go to Medicare age, Medicare is going to be primary and your group is going to be secondary. So you may be required to enroll in Medicare A and B, even if you keep your group health insurance. And that may not be the best option because your group insurance is not a great supplement to Medicare. They don't mesh very well. One doesn't necessarily fill in the gaps of the other. Now, however, if your employer is over 20, then the group insurance would be primary, Medicare would be secondary, in which case you would not be required to enroll in Medicare A and B. So you could save those premiums that you would be paying to Medicare for Medicare Part B, stay on your group, and then down the road, if you decided or when you retire and you're ready to go to Medicare, you can come back to Medicare. Group is considered credible coverage for Medicare, and because of that, you could come back to Medicare, enroll in B without having to pay that penalty that anybody else that did not have credible coverage or that maybe didn't enroll in Medicare when they were first eligible might have to pay. So it doesn't hurt in that scenario to stay on group. We have a lot of our group members that will do that. But those are the variables we would look at as far as out-of-pocket cost. How good a benefit is your group? How much are you paying for that group insurance? Even in that scenario where the group is larger than 20 and is going to be primary, it still may be more beneficial to go with Medicare. So these are the types of things really when we sit down with a client, because it's hard to give a just broad scenario, this is the best route. Because it varies depending on your personal scenario.
Well, it makes so much sense that, you know, your health insurance options, and that's why, right, you have the ability to change them when you have a life event, because it was so specific to your life, your situation, what you needed at
Absolutely.
The time. Now it's changed. And so that's when you get the chance to change it up. So great question and a great reason to reach out and, you know, to talk through your different options. Affiliated insurance, of course, would be the one that we would recommend. Chad, I don't know that we've given people the best contact information this morning. If they're interested in speaking more and learning more,
they can give us a call at our office at 477-5840 or come visit us on Brent Lane, 672 Brent Lane.
Very good. Yes. 672 Brent Lane. I'm putting that down now because I know I have some questions to come speak with you guys about. And so you were talking a bit there about like the different Medicare A and B. And we had also mentioned before that we wanted to kind of dive into the Advantage. So talk us through that. What's that about?
Okay. So with Medicare, people have some options now with how to get their benefits. It can really be broken down into a couple of different categories. One is original Medicare, which is what's been around for quite a while. And that consists of Medicare A and Medicare Part B, where A is your hospitalization, B is your physician and outpatient coverage. And with that, there's some gaps, cost gaps with those services, where you can purchase a Medicare supplement plan to pick up those out-of-pocket costs for Medicare Part A and Medicare Part B. If you go the original Medicare route, you would also have to buy a standalone prescription drug plan. So there's some advantages to going that route. With original Medicare, you don't have network restrictions, so you have freedom of where to go for services. You also have some predictable costs. You know how much most of your cost is going to be for the year because you are paying those monthly premiums for the Medicare supplement to fill in those gaps and for that prescription drug plan. The downside to the original Medicare route is that you are paying those monthly premiums whether you use the plan or not. So they came out with Medicare Part C, which is also referred to as Medicare Advantage plans. And with Medicare Advantage, you purchase your coverage, your Medicare coverage through a carrier like Florida Blue that contracts with Medicare to administer those benefits. So instead of getting them through your red, white, and blue Medicare card, you'd have a card just like you do on your group insurance or your individual health plan. The advantage to the Medicare Advantage is the little to no upfront cost on the premiums. Most of those plans are low cost and even zero cost. Now you still pay your Medicare Part B premium to Medicare because you are still part of the Medicare program. But you may have a zero premium for the plan that you're enrolling in for the Medicare Advantage. Now you don't have that upfront cost, but with the Medicare Advantage, you do have cost as you utilize the services. So you may have, you know, a $10 copay to go see a primary care doctor or a $45 copay. They look very much like the individual health plans where you pay a little bit as you use it. So obviously the advantage there is the money that you can save up front in premiums. There are, most of those plans do have a network of doctors and hospitals, so there's a bit of a trade-off in that with the original Medicare where you can go to see anybody. With the Medicare Advantage plans, you're going to have a network of doctors or hospitals that you want to stay within to get your best benefits. Medicare Advantage plans also often give you some additional benefits that original Medicare doesn't offer. Many of the plans will offer things like eye exams and an allowance towards lenses and frames and contacts, hearing exams, some dental benefits. Florida Blue has offered has included some home health assistance with a company called Papa this year. It gives you some at-home care where, and Papa is actually a really interesting company that they've partnered with. It started with a guy that was in college that was helping out with some seniors and really liked the idea of joining the generations together. So he actually started a company where they partner with college students to help with Medicare members, Medicare age members, with at-home support, helping with things like light housework, just visiting, taking people to, to the grocery store and pharmacy, doctor's visits, things like that. So with one of our plans, or with many of our plans, you get 60 hours a year of those benefits. So there are extra benefits that you get on top of what Medicare offers with the Medicare Advantage.
That is such a cool concept. I love that, you know, bridging the gap and like putting young people into a service opportunity. And then, of course, we know all the benefits of staying connected across the generations. And
absolutely.
I love that. So up to 60 hours a year, that's pretty significant.
It is. It is. One of the questions, one of the questions we get quite frequently when we're discussing these options is, what do you recommend, or what's the best option?
Oh, what a great question.
Yeah, nothing like putting you on the spot. One, legally, I can't tell you one option is better than the other. But we do look, once again, at everybody's individual scenario to see which one fits what you're looking for best. Both are great options, but different people want different things. Obviously, if you freedom of choice is more important to you, predictability of costs, then obviously the original Medicare and the supplement is a better route. But if you are looking to save money, the Medicare Advantage may be, or you're looking for, you know, extra benefits, the Medicare Advantage plans may be a better option. So once again, we sit down, look at what's most important to you, and help you find that plan. We don't push one over the other. We want what's best for the client.
I think that's probably just the biggest takeaway here, is that there are so many options. This is not an intuitive thing that we're necessarily taught along the way in school or have that class on
how
to
elect your insurance.
Yeah, there's really not. And so that's why, you know, we have these opportunities to talk through some of the differences and really to encourage, like maybe you had a simple question and some of this information has covered it, but probably more than likely this is worth really taking some time to look at. What have you had this past year? What has changed?
Absolutely.
And then what are you going to need moving forward? Because 2020 has looked unlike anything else I think most of us have seen before. But we can still plan for the future.
Yeah.
Yes. Like there's still ways, you know, based on what has changed, what has happened, what's coming up next, that, you can just get what you need, and see, I think going back to the first part of our conversation, that there are some subsidies that you might not think that you qualify for and you might be missing out. So definitely worth asking for some help in navigating this process.
Yes, and that's another misconception, is that it costs for our services. It doesn't cost the member anything. They pay the same for their plan, whether they utilize an agent or they go try to figure out themselves online, which can be difficult for someone who doesn't deal with this day in and day out, to know the differences of the things that you're looking at. Getting your questions answered. The people that qualify for the subsidies, just with Florida Blue, once you get that subsidy amount, you can go there and look at dozens of different plans. And then once you decide the benefits, Florida Blue has four different networks. So someone trying to figure that out on their own, where they can utilize the services of one of our agents to explain those differences, look up your doctors to know which networks they're in, find out what's most important to you, and find the plan that fits that, rather than guessing, only to find out in January it's not what you were looking for and you're stuck in it until next year.
We really don't want that to happen.
No, we don't.
And so just real quick, one more time, Chad, so it's 477-5840.
Correct.
You can stop by 672 Brent Lane. If people wanted to check it out online first, I imagine that's also an option.
We have some general information on our website, affiliatedins.net, but you'll really get more information speaking to one of our agents.
It sounds like this is one of those where the more personalized you can get, the better off you're going to be going into, even if you decide to then like make your elections yourself, at least you've talked through. I love what you said that whether you utilize an agent or not, there's no additional cost there. So, you know, let these people do what they do best.
It is. And just to tack on to that, one of the other benefits of utilizing our services and utilizing one of our agents is we also have an in-house customer service team. So if they do purchase through us, if you need anything down the road with your plan, you're not left on your own to fend for yourself by calling an 800 number on the back of your card to get transferred to 12 different departments to hopefully get an answer to the question that you have. Give us a call. The girls in our service team do a wonderful job of working with our clients, getting their questions answered on their behalf and getting back to them.
So good.
477-5840. 477-5840.